Thank our choir and our praise band and also our orchestra and Miss Miriam. Some of you want to know that Bill King is coming out of retirement. He is now our new orchestra leader. He came by my office last week. I said, Bill, there's one thing we haven't arranged yet. You and I have not talked about how much we're going to pay you. He said, doesn't matter. Whatever you want to pay, just take out the same state and federal deductions. And I guess 30% of nothing is about what we used to pay him, so we'll just get on with Bill, won't we? Well, take your Bible now and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 20, a message entitled, A Call to Arms. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you've done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Someone wrote, the Christian life is not a playground, it is a battleground. If you belong to Jesus, you're involved in a spiritual battle. The only way to have serenity of the heart, security for your children, satisfaction for your marriage, and success in life is if you put on the full armor of God as we face all that Satan sends our way. I'm afraid a lot of Christians don't realize who their enemy is, that there's a war going on. They don't understand that every day they're in a fight for their spiritual life. Someone said, much of the church's warfare today is fought by blindfolded soldiers who cannot see the forces raging against them, who are buffeted by invisible opponents and respond by striking one another. Every one of us who's born again is involved in a spiritual battle. There's satanic forces all around us today. You cannot hear the bullets being fired going by your head. You cannot hear the explosions in the sanctuary. Satan is not pleased with you being in a worship service. Satan is not pleased when you're having your quiet time and on your knees before God. Every believer is in a battle. You can realize it or not. Once you're born again, you become an enemy of Satan and a friend and a part of the family of God. Listen to me carefully. God has a plan for everybody that's ever been born. He certainly has a plan for you if you've been born again. Jesus loves you. Satan hates you, and he has a plan for your life as well. First of all, notice the encounter that we face in verse 12. This is a war like no other war that you have faced or heard of in life. It's not like any war in history. Down in verse 12, he says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The war I'm speaking of is going on 24/7 around us as we're attempting to live the Christian life. It's going on in your head. Temptation gets presented to your eyes, to your senses, and to your head. This warfare is going on in the head of many ministers. That's why you hear that so many of them are hooked on pornography. So many are having affairs. So many have embezzled money from the church where they pastor. This is why all of us have to do battle every day to do what is right rather than what is wrong. But just because the war is invisible does not mean that it's not real. If you don't believe a war is going on, all you've got to do is read a newspaper and go online and look at what's going on just in our nation today. This prostitution. Atlanta, Georgia is one of the hubs for slave trafficking, children, slave tracking for sexual abuse that's going to happen to those kids. We've got the fentanyl problem. We've got the alcohol problems. And on and on and on it goes. Terrorism, robbery, drug addiction, child molestation, it just goes on and on. Please understand that behind all of that is Satan and spiritual warfare. Notice what Paul says. We do not wrestle against the flesh and blood. And he says, every Christian has to fight. There are no deferments, there are no exemptions, there are no conscientious objectors. If you are a Christian, the Lord has placed you into this battle. When you give your heart to Jesus, you can't play on the playground. You've got to take your place on the battlefield. Listen to what Paul said about himself in 2 Timothy 4:7. I've fought the good fight. He says, I have finished the faith. He exhorted his protege, young Timothy, in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Alexander the Great was one of the greatest generals who ever lived. If you study his life, you'll know that he was busy conquering the then known world. One day he was out inspecting the troops. One of his soldiers was on guard. He's supposed to be protecting the camp. He was looking out for enemies. He found him asleep. You know what the penalty was for being asleep when you were supposed to be on guard? The same penalty if you go to sleep during my sermon. It was death. In fact, a lot of times what they did is they poured kerosene on that guard and set him on fire and burned him to death. Well, Alexander the Great woke him up and said, what do you think you're doing? He gave him a lecture. And then he said, listen, he said, I want to know your name. And guess what his name was? Alexander. Alexander the Great said, you change your conduct or you change your name. I will tell every one of you, if you're a Christian, you're in a war. You may be a deserter, you may be AWOL, but you're in a war and you can't straddle the fence. You're either on one side or you're on God's side. C.S. Lewis said this, there is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. Be on your guard because there is a war out here and Satan is behind the evil forces. And notice the enemy that we fight. Look at verse 11 and 12. General Douglas MacArthur is one of our greatest generals we've ever had in the United States. Said there are four component parts for victory in a battle. He said, first of all, morale. The troops have to know that the cause that they're fighting for is worth sacrificing their life. Morale is the first thing you'll write down. The second thing is, he says, you've got to have strength. In other words, the troops have to have the proper training, the proper diet, the proper physique, and the proper weapons. The third thing he said was, they've got to have an adequate source of supplies. So if you're on the front lines of the battle, you're counting on some of the troops to continually to give you the ammunition, the weapons, and everything you need to be successful fighting the war. The fourth thing he said, you've got to have a knowledge of the enemy. Here's what MacArthur said, a quote, "The greater the knowledge of the enemy, the greater the potential of victory." We're told here that who the enemy is in verse 11. He says, "We are to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand," look at this, "against the wiles of the devil." We've got to be careful about this when we talk about Satan in this society. People fall on one of two extremes when you talk about the devil. There's some people say that devil does not really exist. He is just some mystical being. It's just something somebody made up. Well, I want to say right up front, I'm not ashamed to tell you that I believe in a personal Satan, just like I believe in a personal Savior. When I hear people say there's no such thing as a personal devil, I'm reminded of the prize fighter. He went into the ring with this other guy that was the champ. And I want you to know the champ was just laying one blow on this old boy after another. And he went back and he sat down on his little chair, and his manager came along, fanning him off, putting some water on him, minding his wounds. And the manager looked at his fighter and he said, "Look, he ain't laid a hand on you yet." This fight went on, and it was the same scenario through the seventh round. This fighter's eyes were swollen shut. His nose was smashed in and bleeding, and his lips were cut wide open. He was sitting there with his manager, fixing to go into the eighth round. The manager was fanning him off with a towel and giving him water and ministering the places where he's bleeding profusely. And his manager looked at his fighter and said, "Man, he ain't laid a hand on you yet." And so the fighter stood up, said, "I'm going into this eighth round." Said, "How about watch the referee for me?" And he said, "Why?" He said, "Because if the fighter hadn't laid a hand on me, the referee's beaten the daylights out of me." If you don't believe Satan is real, temptation is going to come your way. And sometimes you're going to say yes to it. And I want to tell you who is whipping your life. It is Satan. Now let's watch very closely about this. We'll comment on who he is a little more in just a moment. So notice here that Satan sometimes is portrayed by us as a little fella running around in a red suit with a long tail, horns, and a pitchfork. I don't know where that came from, but that's what the average person believes. But if you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, here's what he says about, here's what Paul said. Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. If you saw Satan in the flesh today, he'd be very handsome. He'd be very attractive. Now, in my day, they call that a 10. They call that a hunk. They call that a stud muffin. And I meant to ask a millennial what they call it now. They call it up online. That's all I know. They just go to a dating site. But the other thing is he'll have a very kind, persuasive personality. No horns, no pitchfork, no red suit with a long tail. He is very, very persuasive. And down in verse 12, we see here that our battle is against a spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Satan is a spiritual being, but he also has demons that accompany him. Should not surprise you that our fight is spiritual because our foe is spiritual, cannot be seen. You see, you can't fight Satan on a natural plane. You got to fight him on the supernatural. You not win the war against Satan by sheer power. He's not an enemy to be trifled with. And we go on to find out that our war is against principalities, powers, rules of darkness in this age. And listen to me carefully. Never, ever underestimate the power of Satan. Now, Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is all powerful. No one greater than him. But for whatever reason, God has allowed Satan to be the what? The ruler in this world right now. We're also told in verse 11, stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles there means methods. The deceit, the trickery of Satan. He is the master of deception. I want you to understand that the devil is interested in darkness and wickedness. We're so fond of saying, oh, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. Listen, Satan hates you and wants you to go down the road that he wants for your life. And mark this down, the devil is doing everything he can right now to take people to hell. And for those who are going to heaven, he's doing all he can to make you miserable. And notice the equipment that we feel. The Lord told us about our foe, and then he says, I want you to know that I want you equipped with the armor of God so that you can stand against the methods of the devil. Notice he says, our loins gird about with truth. This means God's truth. Measuring everything in honesty to God's word. 2 Corinthians 8:21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. There's very little truth in our world today. I heard our president say on TV in an interview last week that we don't have any inflation. I don't know what medication he's taking. I'd like to take a double dose. Politicians are the masters at telling lies. You'll hear one candidate say, well, this candidate, they don't believe in abortion. They're Nazis. They don't stand for American values. I'm saying, do what? I didn't just hear that, did I? And then political correctness. You've got the masters of lies there. We can't believe what people say. You don't know when people are sincere. I was involved in a business deal last week with an in-law family member. My advice to young couples is when you're involved in a dispute with family, blood handles blood. Isn't that right? But I volunteered. I said, I'll handle this. They didn't make a mistake. I didn't make a mistake. The mistake in this business deal was made by someone who's deceased, and he didn't do it intentionally. The mistake was 37 years old. But it had to be cleared up. So I got on the phone with in-law cousin. He was all business when he got on the phone. And I said, hey, I've talked to my lawyer. Don't you like to start out a conversation with people and say, I talked to my lawyer. And I said, not to sue you, but I want you to know, here's the documents that I have in hand. And he said, you know, I agree with what you're saying. I said, well, it's the truth. And so I said, here's what we're going to do. And I said, this is not worth throwing away a family relationship over. And all of a sudden, he softened up. And then it got better and better. But I want you to know, before I made this phone call, Delaney and I had prayer. And she said, I was shocked at you. I thought you were going to be ugly. But I wasn't going to be ugly. I was just going to be nice to him. I was going to let him get ugly first, and then Barney was going to get his bullet. I'd already figured this thing out. And we got about 15 minutes into this conversation, and here's what he said. He almost broke down crying. He said, I want to thank you for being so honest. I said, well, why would I not be honest? That's what the Word of God tells us to do. I said, you know, I'm not going to lie to him unless it's absolutely necessary. You understand that? Three times he has thanked me for honesty. That's just the only way to go. Listen, if you're going to put on, he says, your loins girt about with truth, you've got to tell the truth. Ephesians 4:25 says, put away all lying and speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. That's your first piece of armor. Second piece of armor, breastplate of righteousness. We got saved. God imputed us. He gave us righteousness. He cleansed our sins with his blood. He says our sins are on the blood. As God's people, we're to live righteously before others. Titus 2:12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. That doesn't mean you have a spiritual arrogance. That means that you're going to do the right thing. You're going to live like Christ and according to his principles. But you know, we are guardians. We got to be guardians of our character and our integrity, because when we're unrighteous, then we're giving in to the methods, the wiles of the devil. It is said that the Emperor Napoleon one time went to a very skillful workman. Now, this is cutting edge. He said, "I want you to make me a bulletproof undergarment." And the guy said, "Well, I think I could do that for you." Well, it took a long time. You know, Kevlar was not invented back when Napoleon was running around. He said, "I want this thing to be bulletproof." So one day there was an appointment made. The man showed up with the bulletproof undergarment. And Napoleon said, "Well, why don't you try it on for me?" And the man said, "Well, I made it to fit you." He said, "I don't care." He said, "I want you to try it on." So the maker tried on the bulletproof vest. Napoleon pulled out his gun and cocked. The maker said, "Don't try this out on me." He said, "Well, you said it would protect me. So if it'll protect me, it'll protect you." Pow! It worked. And the guy that made it was so glad that he did quality workmanship. Listen, in the same way, listen to this. The Lord made an armor that will shield and protect us from any attack by Satan if we'll just wear it. The breastplate of righteousness. Notice our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Romans used to wear sandals with spikes made on them so they could move forward with firm footing when they were in battle. You know, the three things about a faithful soldier. Faithful soldier's never going to retreat. He's never going to run. He's one who's going to be always pressing forward in battle. Now notice the last part of that verse. The emphasis placed on the gospel of peace. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." As we're going along life's way, we've got to make sure that we're watching for opportunities to share the gospel of peace. I went in a store the other day to look at some running shoes. Now, I don't run, but I've got that plantar fasciitis stuff. Anybody ever had that before? Woo! That'll make a charismatic out of you when that thing starts hurting, doesn't it? You get up in the middle of the night, you put that foot down, all of a sudden you're tripping all over the place. It wasn't hurting when you were lying down, but when you got up and put some weight on it. And the lady came up to me and she said, "Now," she said, "we got this shoe over here called Ghost." I said, "Okay." "And then we got one over here called GC. It's a center of gravity shoe." Y'all are with me so far? Some of you wear something. And I can never pronounce the other name that I, Saucony, is that Saucony or something? Is that the name of the other one? Then she presented another one to me. That thing was $175. Are you kidding me? Let me tell you, if it's $175, I won't ever feel the floor. I want to be hovering. That's what I want to do. And so I tried on some, and I needed a 9.5. I only had a 9. Praise God. Then she said, "I'll check the other stores. They don't have one." Praise God. So I'm putting packing in my left heel all the time with all the shoes that I wear. And I'm all the time taking some of that stuff that naproxen sodium all the time. So if I get a little crazy here today, it's just naproxen sodium that raises my voice. But everywhere I go, regardless of the shoes that I have on, I've always got to be looking for somebody who needs Jesus, and I've got to be willing to share the gospel. The next thing I want you to see is shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Back in those days, the soldiers would have these special shields. The enemy would be shooting fiery darts. These shields, not only could they intercept the arrows, but it also would extinguish the fire. Here's what he's saying here. Whatever comes your way, bad health, discouragement, disappointment, temptation, we must exercise our faith in God. And then he said the helmet of salvation. That helmet protects our mind and our thoughts. Our ability to focus must be secured in a sure salvation. There can be no doubt about a man's salvation. A person who's not sure of his salvation will fall prey to the temptations of Satan. And notice what he says. He will be up one day and down the next. The Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And next he talks about the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Back in those days, the Roman soldiers would use a 14-inch sword. It was sharpened on both sides. It would cut well either way. I am tired of these commercials on TV that something is $29.95, but if you order now, we'll send you two. But the one I'm most suspicious about right now is the one that throws a pineapple up in the air and he cuts it half in two like that. Have you seen that? Do you believe that? I believe if that's true, he's missing about four fingers. Because he's been doing those demos for a long time. You see, the problem is we've got the Word of God. We need to have our devotions every day. Get the Word of God in our heart so it'll act as the sword of the Spirit so we can turn away from temptations. Let me tell you what the Barna Association, they do a lot of research, and here's their latest. They said that among Americans, 58% that they asked couldn't tell you who preached the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to this. Most Americans cannot identify the names of the first four books in the New Testament. They also found that half of all adults, 52%, did not know the book of Jonah's in the Bible. Half of adults, 48%, don't know the book of Thomas is not in the Bible. 7 out of 10 adults did not know the expression, "God helps those who help themselves," is not in the Word of God. Allow me to state the obvious. A sword has to be removed from its sheath, from its holder, in order to use it to your advantage. In fact, it's been said that a closed Bible is no better than no Bible at all. I was looking on my bookshelves. We have given away 34 cases of my books in the last 8 months. But I looked on Thursday. I dusted my office. Can you believe that? That's an annual event. And I looked down and saw how many Bibles I've got in my office. And I wondered at the judgment seat of Christ, would Christ say, "And you know, you own about 100 copies of the Word of God that stayed on your shelves all the time. And there are people in this world that don't have a Bible, and you just let them collect dust on your shelf. What about you?" We've got to use the Word of God. That's how you overcome temptation. Just put the Word of God to it, and you'll be able to walk away. I was reading about Randy Johnson the other day, not the one from Lindale. But this guy was a pitcher. He was 6'10", played for the Seattle Mariners. He's the tallest baseball player that's ever played in the major leagues. He was known for his 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Can you imagine being in the batter's box with something coming at you 100 miles an hour? Now think about this. Suppose you're going to play catcher for him one day. You lost your mind and you're going to catch for him. And you said, "I got this." So you take a cap, not a helmet. You take a cap and put it on backwards. You put on a pair of shorts, T-shirt, a pair of those $175 running shoes. And you get you a catcher's mitt. You got no mask. You got no helmet. You got no chest protector. And you got no shin guards. And you get down behind the plate. And the first pitch that comes in, it's 100 miles an hour. The batter swings, it fouls off and hits you right in the face and knocks you out cold. You're stupid. That's the equivalent. Listen, that's the equivalent of not being equipped with the armor that God has given us, and you go out here to live every single day, you're going to fall prey to temptation. You're going to ruin your witness. You're going to trash your character, your integrity, your spouse, all because you didn't put on the equipment that God, by His grace, has given us. Now look at it again. You got the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. You got the foot guards of preparation. You got the shield of faith. You got the helmet of salvation. You got all of these things by grace. You've been saved through faith. And by grace, He's given us this equipment so that we can bring honor and glory to God through the way we live. I read about a man who was a wild game hunter, a true story. He decided to go to Africa to hunt Cape buffalo. Now, if you Google that up, you'll find that that's one of the most dangerous animals to hunt. So he got a guide. It was just the two of them. They went out in the bush, and they found a herd of Cape buffalo. They were slipping up on them. I told you they're dangerous. And he said, man, before we could get a clear look at them, the whole herd turned and started stampeding toward them. I mean, they'll kill you. They'll run over you and keep on going and graze somewhere else. And he said, I looked around at my hunting guide and I said, let's run. He said, don't run. Stand right where you are. Said, if you run, you can't outrun them. They're going to kill you. He said, I know the Cape buffalo. Stand still. Here's what else the hunting guide did. He said, I want you to stand still and stare them straight at the face as they're coming to you about 30 miles an hour, the whole herd. And so the hunting guide got behind the hunter. He said, what you doing behind me? He said, I'm making sure you do everything I told you to do. And so he said, man, I got to praying real quick. And he said, man, they're coming. He said, I'm just staring head on at them and thinking, I hope this guide knows what he's talking about. The guide, he's just looking over his shoulder back there. And they're coming. There's a cloud of dust. And all of a sudden, when they got 10 yards in front of the hunter and his guide, the buffalo stopped. And he said the guide and the hunter, they kept staring the buffalo straight. Don't close your eyes. And finally, the buffalo just kind of stared down the hunter and his guide. And you know what they did? The buffalo turned around and left. And the hunter said, I have never trusted God as deeply in inner city situation than I did when those buffalo were charging. Every morning when we get up, we need to put on the armor. And regardless of what temptation Satan sends at us, in the power of the Holy Spirit, using the armor, we need to stare it down and make sure we live in such a way that brings honor and glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Simple message, something we forget. We live in a nation that calls what's right wrong and what's wrong's right. And there's not but one truth, and we find it in the Word of God. And if we're going to claim your name, we need to put on this armor that you've given us for free so we can be good witnesses for you and bring peace to our families, to our workplace, to our children, all relationships that we have, because the fruit of the Spirit is being produced in and through us. And we've got this armor to protect us from the trickery of Satan. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, Jesus gave His life on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins And he says, whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. That salvation is free. You can't earn it, can't work for it. All you can do is invite him into your heart. We have staff members in both buildings at the front to help you with that decision with no pressure at all. Maybe you've already been saved, need to make it public, be a candidate for baptism and church membership. We invite you to come. Some of you have been our guests for a long time, and that's wonderful. But maybe you've prayed about it, and God's called you to invest your spiritual gifts in this place. Lord, we want to thank you in advance for public and private decisions that are about to be made. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Richard's coming forward with the praise band in the Family Life Center. We invite you to come forward with your decision in both buildings. If you're uncomfortable doing that, meet Richard after the service on the contemporary side at the Connect desk. He'll meet with you. Here, if you're uncomfortable coming forward, just meet Ted or me out in the Welcome Center at the Welcome desk after the service. If you're watching us on your electronic device, call us at 706-234-1841, and one of our staff members will call you back as soon as possible. Mark's leading us now. You come.